The Office of Special Counsel has persuaded the Veterans Affairs Department to settle with three whistleblowers from the Phoenix Medical Center. One is Paula Padin, former chief spokeswoman at that center. She blew the whistle about financial mismanagement by former leadership. Padin is now a national program specialist in the Veterans Health Administration's Office of Communications. She told me about what it's like to become a whistleblower and what got her through the ordeal.
For 20 years, I've been the public affairs officer at the Phoenix VA healthcare system. In that capacity, I worked with the members of the media, the patients, the staff, congressional members, getting information out, communicating, building relationships, and also with our veteran service organizations to ensure that they had what they needed from VA.
Now, much of the story centered, generated in Washington, but I'm not sure people understand the scope of the Phoenix complex, as you put it. Tell us how big it is, how many buildings there are, how many people come through there a year.
So the Phoenix VA healthcare system is four city blocks. It runs from 7th Street to 3rd Street off of Indian School Road. One part of the building is a two-story ambulatory care clinic that we added about 15 years ago. And then the rest of it is like a six-story building that has all kinds of healthcare services, GI, mental health, everything that you need to take care of the veterans.
So it's big.
It's huge. It's a huge place. And, it took me like 3 years when I first got there. It took me 3 years to figure out, okay, where's the A wing? Where's the B wing?
All right. So what was it that you did? What did you bring to the attention of other authorities? I guess this goes back to 2010. How did you get into whistleblower status in the first place?
What happened, we had transitioned our directors. And the director that we had, John Fears, had been there for 13 years. After he came, we had another director that was there for just a couple years, and then another new director came in. And in 2010, Dr. Foote and I started noticing that there was some concerns with the environment, the culture that this new director was bringing. So when Sam came to me and asked me to assist him in blowing the whistle on the hostility, the funds mismanagement, those kinds of things, I helped him do that. And we were able to do it quietly, Tom. We worked through the Office of the Inspector General, who brought it up to the leaders in VA Central Office, and they conducted their own review. And the director and associate director ended up retiring. So we were ready to move forward and kind of go from there. So enter the most recent leadership team, Sharon Hellman, Lance Robinson, and others. And I just started noticing I wasn't getting the restoration from the prior hostility. So I had lost staff. I had lost funding. And yet I was expected to still do the same level of work. So it just kind of, eroded from there. And what happened was they found out that I was still in touch with Dr. Foote. I appreciate Dr. Foote and what he's done for our veterans. And they accused me of an internal disclosure that was false. And that's when it kind of really started to spiral downward.
And you ended up in a basement office? Is that kind of thing?
Oh, yes. Go from the sixth floor with a beautiful view out the window, and especially in Arizona where we have lots of sunshine and palm trees and desert landscaping, to the basement library where it's hard to even get cell phone reception down there.
So through all this, how did you feel about continuing to work for the VA? At what point did you decide, I'm going to fight this and see how far it goes?
This whole adventure to me, I'm a woman of faith, and I'm telling you that God revealed it step by step by step. Had I known the first day that Lance took me out of my job that this would be an almost two-year ordeal, I don't know that I would have said, okay, I'll do this. But it was like first we had to wait 60 days, then we had to wait 90 days, then we had to wait 6 months, then it was 9 months. At that point in time, the Office of Special Counsel became involved. We filed the whistleblower reprisal case, and they picked up our case within 21 days. they started moving forward and investigating. Then the furlough hit, so I had to wait some more. Then they came back off furlough, and the investigations picked up, and we were trying to negotiate a settlement, but every time we sent something over to the Phoenix VA Regional Council, it was being blocked by the senior leadership that really didn't want me in my job, even though they had nothing on me. So I can honestly say that it was really a journey of faith. I am extremely grateful to the Office of Special Counsel for the work they do and the phenomenal way they do it. And my legal team, my friends, my family, the Phoenix community, they all stood by me. You know, you had somebody that had done a superb job. We had the most advanced and best recognized public affairs program in the entire country. We were the only one that had earned 3 prestigious silver anvils from the Public Relations Society of America. I had taught junior PAOs. I had mentored junior PAOs. You know, it was just this big, comprehensive, wonderful program, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And then the inappropriateness continued with what we're seeing today in the VA scandal. So it kind of came full circle.
We're speaking with Paula Padine. She is the National Program Specialist in the VHA Office of Communications, formerly the Public Affairs Office at the Phoenix VA Medical Center. And so you're getting caught up kind of in the other deal regarding the patient wait times and the falsification of records. That really coincided with your case, but you were off to the races long before that broke.
Yes. Part of the group thinks that one of the reasons that I was removed from my position was because if they knew already that I would report inappropriateness from before, and I was in the senior leadership meetings, that what would there be to stop me from doing that again. And if they wanted to create this aura of, you know, here's what we're doing, we're getting the patients within 14 days, but in reality, they're not coming in until 6 months, 9 months, 12 months later. It doesn't take long for a PR person who's involved in the community, involved in veterans organizations. I'm a disabled veteran myself, so I attend a lot of the group meetings, to realize that there's a disconnect, and I would have blown the whistle on that. The other thing I need to say, Tom, is that I am speaking on behalf of myself today. I'm not speaking as an official VA spokesperson.
Understand. And just to circle back to the financial irregularities that you first reported, what was the nature of them? Can you relate that?
Yes, there was. There was 2. I had a colleague that was over in the Health Administration Services, and she and I had become friends, and we were talking about some of the issues that she was seeing in fee basis mismanagement, and then watching kind of the interactions when she would bring things up in the senior level meetings and how they reacted to that. It raised red flags for both of us that something was amiss. So we reported fee basis. That's the contracted out care that our veterans receive when VA can't provide them the care that they need in a timely fashion. And it was being mismanaged. There was no controls on it. It was kind of just wavering in the wind on its own. And then I also reported a hostile work environment. The director would often ping on different people in public forums to, we're not sure why, just kind of in a, you know, humiliating way. So when people would get beat up by him, there would be like a little clutch afterwards and saying, are you okay? I thought you handled that well. Here's something you can say, you know, the next time maybe. But, you know, when it's a senior leader of the organization, there's not a lot that you can do to kind of circumvent that. You really can't. So a lot of us just stood there and took it and tried really hard to be professional in the way we responded to him. And it was one day when he had really chastised me in front of a group of 30 people that Dr. Foote called and said, Paula, you know, if I was in the room today, I would have clocked him. He has no right to pick on you. You've done nothing but a superb job for us. And we kind of, that's where we picked up the ball and decided it was time to stop it.
Okay, so let's fast forward now. It sounds like really a bad situation, but this whole thing has worked through, and the Office of Special Counsel prevailed upon VA and the new leadership there to renegotiate with you and reach a settlement. And I know some of the terms are confidential, but they did mention you've got a new job. Tell us what you're going to be doing now.
The new job entails working with public affairs officers and others in the Veterans Health Administration to get the word out about the health care and the health programs that VA offers. So, for example, I'm a woman veteran. There's a gamut of health care services that VA offers to women veterans, but not many of them know about it, or not enough of them are currently taking advantage of it. So one of the roles that I hope to be able to enact is to be an advocate for the health care that the veterans have earned and are entitled to, and to make sure they know about that. And we'll be doing that through all the VA hospitals, communicating through their public information officers and other avenues. So my public relations experience is strong in what we call campaigns. So I see this as a big opportunity to promote health and wellness in a campaign format.
And you'll stay in Phoenix?
Virtual employees that VA has, and my husband and I plan to remain in Phoenix.
So it sounds like through all of this, you kept your faith in the mission of VA and ultimately in the organization, because you've agreed to stay around.
You know, Tom, I will tell you that, and you probably know this because of what you do with Federal Radio, many federal employees don't look at their jobs as just a job. My work that I get to do is a calling. I am called to serve our veterans. I am honored to serve our veterans. I am proud to serve our veterans. And I hope to be able to do that in a great fashion as long as God is willing.